You can turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we know in our series of messages for a few weeks now, we know that John's testimony is true, and John's testimony is Jesus. We may not know much. We maybe go through experiences where, in fact, trying to understand what's going on, trying to understand what God is doing, we know nothing. Some of you are old enough to remember this guy. I know nothing, right? I see nothing. I hear nothing. I wasn't here. I know nothing. And sometimes we go through things in life where it seems what God's doing, what God's planning, it really is true. We know nothing of what He's doing. We know nothing of what He's thinking, despite the inability to fully understand what God's doing, how God's working. We find confidence and encouragement and strength in this. We can know. We do know Jesus, the healer, the provider, the miracle worker, the resurrection and the life, the living water, the good shepherd who lays down His life for us. We do know Jesus. And we do know that we are made right with God, not by the law, not because of the law, but by our faith in Jesus Christ. How good it is to understand and even hear again the message of Scripture this morning. It is not about you or me. Not what you've done or haven't done. Not what I've done or haven't done. Rather, it's about Jesus and what Jesus did for you and what Jesus did for me, what Jesus has done for us. We are saved not because of our own righteousness, but because of His mercy, because of His grace. He's washed away our sins. He's given us new birth and a new life through His Holy Spirit. He has declared us righteous and granted to us the inheritance that is eternal life. We know that because of Jesus and our faith in Him, we've been made right with God. Can you hear me as I would say that to you this morning, my brother, my sister? Listen to me. You have been made right with God, redeemed, sanctified. You have been saved from His wrath and spared from His condemnation. Once His enemies, you have now been made to be His friend. We may not know much, but wow, to know that, oh, isn't it good? To reflect on that, to consider that, to think on that, doesn't it restore, bring both a refreshing and a revival to your soul today, even in the midst of the frustration of the unknown? And we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and we love the sisters. We love one another. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul writes, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Not knowing what God is doing, not knowing how He's thinking or how He's planning as it relates to your life, maybe even in the circumstances that you face today, not knowing why He hasn't responded to your prayers yet, not knowing why He hasn't come through with the miracle for you yet, not knowing why He hasn't delivered you yet, not knowing, that's frustrating. But this morning, rather than being consumed by the unknown and letting our lives and our faith to be frustrated by it, we strengthen ourselves today. We encourage ourselves today. We anchor ourselves today in what we do know. Don't know what God is thinking, don't know what God is doing, don't know what He's planning, no worries. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. Pastor, I don't know what God is doing in my life right now. I don't know why He hasn't come through. I don't know why He hasn't answered. Pastor, I don't understand what God is doing in my life. I don't understand how God is working, if even He is working. Pastor, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Listen, I don't mean to be insensitive to what you're going through, but listen to my response this morning. No worries. Because we do know this. We know our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with. We know this, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. This morning, just a couple of things from Romans 6. First, we look to the Lord. He died, crucified, and yet raised again. He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all, and now the life He lives to God. Paul's imagery takes us to Calvary, makes us to remember and recall the brutality of the crucifixion. Jesus beaten, bruised, His face unrecognizable, the crown of thorns upon His brow. His back, upon which that old rugged cross was carried, literally torn to ribbons, to a hill called Golgotha. His hands and His feet nailed to the cross, the piercing of His side, the mockery from the soldiers and the religious and the passing crowds. And maybe the most haunting words in all of Scripture, certainly in the story of the crucifixion, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Followed then by maybe the most tragic of words, "Jesus breathed His last." The Savior, the Lord of glory, the Word of God, that is God, with God from the very beginning, is dead. Jesus was perfect, sinless, spotless, is the Lamb of God. Maybe we could say it this way, though. Except for when He was on the cross. Not sinless there. No, not because of His own sin. He was without sin. But because of ours, all of ours, all of the sins of humanity from the past, think of it for a moment, all the atrocities in all of humanity, all the debauchery, all the wickedness, all the rebellion, all the immorality from the very beginning of time, all of it is laid on Jesus there at the cross. All the sins of the present, all the that is going on in our world today, And isn't it true, often inclined, we're looking at our world and we're seeing the continual decline, and it makes us to think, oh, things are just going to get worse. In fact, I say it often, I fear for my kids as they grow, and now as they are grown anymore, I fear for what life is going to be like for my grandkids, what they're going to have to deal with, what they're going to be presented with. Think of it, though, even the worst that is yet to come, those sins at Calvary, at the cross, laid upon our Lord. Isaiah chapter 53, beautiful passage of the Old Testament related to Jesus and His ministry. You know the text, who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before Him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 5, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. 1 Peter 1, Christ suffered for you. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in His mouth. Verse 24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree. Jesus was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, perfect in all of His ways. All of us have sinned. We have fallen short, but not Him. And yet on Him, God laid the iniquity of all of us. Because of us, for us, Christ suffered from and was humiliated by the power of sin. We understand that, don't we? It's why we've surrendered our hearts and lives to Him. A God in heaven who would make a way for us to be restored in relationship with Him. Not by making us work our way to Him, but rather by Him coming to us, sending Jesus to bear our sin, to die for us, so that in Him we could live and be counted as sinless and as righteous before the Father. I like the way that one pastor puts it, until someone else dies for my sin, until someone else dies to restore me and my relationship with God, until someone dies for me so that I might enjoy and have access to the promise of eternal life in heaven, no one will get my affection like Jesus. And I just encourage you this morning, it's not the message. And I just remind you today, your friend, I know you love them and I know you value them. Listen to me. Your friend did not die to forgive you of your sin. Jesus deserves your affection above and beyond your friends. Be careful of ever letting the pressure of friend and society weigh us down and turn us away from the one who died for us. Until a friend dies for my salvation, until a friend dies to forgive me of my sin and restore me in relationship with the Father, no friend will get my affection like Jesus does. Your work, listen to me, believer, your money didn't die to forgive you of your sins. Can I speak to us, American church? Your country didn't die to forgive you of your sins, restore relationship with the Father, and grant you access to an eternal home in heaven. We give the Lord our affection. We surrender our lives to the Lord because we understand what He's done for us at the cross. All that He accomplished there for us. We thank Him. We thank You, Jesus, for the cross, for the price You paid. Bearing my sin and my shame is how we sing it. In love You came in an amazing grace. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for this love, Lord. Thank You for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in Your cleansing flow so that now all I know is Your forgiveness and embrace. We thank Him and we worship Him. Worthy, worthy, oh worthy is the Lamb seated now on the throne. He reigns victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, worthy, worthy, worthy. We thank Him. We worship Him. We surrender to Him. We live for Him because He is the darling of heaven, crucified for you and for me. Jesus died, buried, and yet was raised again to new life. Paul wants us not just considering the Lord's crucifixion, but as well, he wants us recalling and remembering that Sunday morning dawn when the stone was rolled away. And angels, perplexed and confused, asked the burial visitors, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He's risen. He's alive. He's alive again. Do you remember back in the day? The stone's been rolled away. He's no longer where He lay." I can hear the angels say, "Let all the world rejoice. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive." You know how we celebrate a risen Savior. That's true. All of it's true. But back to our text as we consider Romans 6, important for us to recognize. Considering the cross, the death of our Lord, an empty tomb, His resurrection. Paul takes us way beyond simple gratitude and worship and celebration. The message of Romans 6. I'm sure Paul would want us rejoicing in what Jesus has done for us. All that His death and resurrection means to us. But the context, Paul wants far more for us than just that. He wants us to see in Jesus, sinless, yet He suffered from, humiliated by the power of sin for our sake. He died. But notice how Paul states it in verse 10. The death He died to sin once and for all. He died and yet He lives again. He's the resurrected Savior. Again though, notice Paul's language in verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. This is Paul's message. Jesus' death for us. Bearing our sin, taking upon Himself the death sentence that we deserved because we were the sinners, dying for us so that in Him we could live even eternally. Yes, 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 all that. We worship Him for that. We thank Him for that. We celebrate because of that. But not just that. Paul's message is the reminder for us. In His death, Jesus died to the influence of sin. He died to sin once and for all. And in His life, in His resurrection, He triumphed over sin's power. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The Living Bible says this in verse 10. He died once for all to end sin's power, but now He lives forever in unbroken fellowship with God. The message puts it this way. When Jesus died, He took sin down with Him, but alive, He brings God down to us. In a few minutes, we will gather at the Lord's table. We will remember His body broken for us, His blood shed for us, the forgiveness of our sin. And we will thank Him, and we will worship Him, and we will celebrate Him, and we will commit our lives to living for Him and serving Him again. All that He's done in us, all that He's done for us. Paul would have us, though, to think as well on this. In Christ, sin's influence has been vanquished. In Christ, sin's power has been conquered. You must understand that this morning. You must take hold of that this morning. Because next, we turn from the Lord and His death and His resurrection, and we consider our own lives. And what Paul is going to ask of us, the life, in fact, that Paul is going to call us to, the promised life of Scripture, we'll find that in light of what Christ has done, does that only become a possibility for us. Saved us, forgiven us, granted us heaven, yes, but also crushed sin's influence and annihilated sin's power. Can I ask you this morning? In light of what Christ has done, do you view sin that way? Influence crushed. Sin's power annihilated. Verse 9, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. From that this morning, our consideration of the Lord, His death, His resurrection to triumphant light. The second thing this morning for us, we consider our own lives. Look at what Paul says, verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master. You are not under the law. You are under grace. Our lives lived in Christ as it was with Jesus, with His death, with His resurrection. So then it is with us. Hear me, dear brother, dear sister, this morning in Jesus, united with Him in his death, you have been set free from sin's influence over you. Yes, you have. You have been set free from sin's influence. Verse 1 of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Paul says, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. Verse 6, we know old self was crucified so that the body of sin might be done away with. Verse 7, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. United with Him in His death, you, like Him, you have been set free from sin's influence over you. And sharing with Him in His resurrection. Verse 4. We're buried with Him through baptism, that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with Him like this in death, we'll certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know old self is crucified, sin done away with, and we're no longer slaves to sin. Anyone's died and been freed from sin. Verse 9, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God in the same way. You're dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, united with Him in His death. You have died to sin's influence, sharing with Him in His resurrection. You have triumphed over sin's power. Listen to me. listen to me this morning. Let me speak the word of God into your heart this morning. United with him in his death, you have died to sin's influence. And sharing with him in his resurrection, you have triumphed over sin's power. Now, is that how you view sin? Is that how you regard it? Oh, Pastor, it's just too hard for me not to gossip. I'm just going to be honest, you're just not living scripturally. Because united with him in his death, you have been set free from the influence of sin. And sharing with him in his resurrection, you have triumphed over sin's power. Pastor, I just can't break the addiction. I just can't step out of the bondage. I just can't quit the lust. I just can't let go of the anger. I just can't forgive that person. Listen to me. You need to hear the word this morning. United with him in his death, you have been set free. You have been delivered. You have died to sin's influence. And sharing with him in his resurrection, you have triumphed over sin's power. I'm just going to share God's word with you this morning and the truth of it. You, my friend, have been set free. That old self that sin controlled in Christ, it died. It's gone, and with it sin's influence over you. And now new life and resurrection power to triumph over sin and to walk in newness of life. Listen to me. God's word declares for you and me, you must hear it this morning. As it was in Jesus, now likewise so it may be in you and me. Sin has been dethroned. It no longer has dominion over us. It has been conquered. It's been crushed, routed, vanquished, overcome, defeated forever. Romans 6, we know that our old self was crucified, so that the body of sin might be done away with. And we know that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Instead of sin, it's a newness of life. Instead of sin reigning and us obeying its evil desires, it's a life now of obedience to God. Instead of offering the parts of our body to sin as instruments of wickedness, it's offering ourselves to God. It's offering the parts of our body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Paul's going to go on to say in chapter 6, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness, just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery, to impurity, and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery and righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We know. This is what we know this morning. This is what we anchor ourselves in this morning. The old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin is done away with. We know this morning. We anchor ourselves in this. We are no longer slaves to sin. Do you understand this morning? Surely Romans 6 invites us to thank the Lord for the cross. Don't misunderstand this morning. Thank the Lord for the cross. Romans 6 invites us, surely it does, to worship the Lamb that was slain, to declare Him worthy, worthy, worthy is that Lamb, and to celebrate the forgiveness of sin and the restoration of relationship with God and the promise of abundant life here and now, eternal life to come, all found in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Romans 6 invites us to thank the Lord, to worship the Lord because of it all, to celebrate the Lord for it all. But there's still more than even all of that. Listen to me. Romans 6 invites us to a newness of life where sin's influence is as dead as our old self that died with Christ. Do you understand that this morning? Maybe the message that Paul gives to the church in Rome would be applied to us. Do you not know that when you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into His death? Do you not know that when you came to an altar not unlike this one, when you bowed your head in the car, in the friend's living room, wherever it was, however it was that it happened, do you not know that in that moment your old self was crucified, died with Jesus? Sin's influence, listen to me, is as dead as our old self that died with Him. And sin's power, listen to me this morning, is as powerless over us as the grave was over the Lord. The power of sin, oh my, it's too much. Oh, us poor Christians have to live a life of, I just don't know how we're ever supposed to do all that the Lord commands us to do. You must think Jesus is still in the tomb. You must have forgotten, my dear brother, my dear sister, that He's alive. You're still looking for the living among the dead. He's alive. And for us, we share in His resurrection. And just as He was powerful over the grave, just as He demonstrated that power, and as Paul says it in Romans 6, death no longer has mastery over Him. There's no power that sin or death holds over Jesus any longer. And so it is for us. One more time. Sin's influence is as dead as our old self that died with Christ. And sin's power is as powerless over us as the grave was over the Lord. The newness of life, where in Christ we live under grace and in righteousness. In a few minutes, you'll hold in your hand the bread and the cup, and you'll remember, oh, Jesus, I thank You. You'll remember the sinner that you used to be, an enemy of God, far from God. But because of His grace and His mercy, He's redeemed you. Not because of the law can't save, but because of His grace and His mercy, He has forgiven you of your sins, washed you, redeemed you, sanctified you. And we'll remember that, and we'll worship the Lord at the conclusion of our time at the Lord's table. Often we do it, we'll lift our hands and we'll say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for redeeming me. Thank You for forgiving me of my sins. Thank You for writing my name in the Lamb's book of life. Thank You for giving me a new heart. Thank You for making me a new creation. And we'll worship the Lord, and we'll walk out of this place recognizing, remembering, recalling all that the Lord has done. And we'll walk out of this place with a newfound fervor and motivation. I'm going to live for Jesus, the Jesus that died for me at Calvary's cross. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to be faithful to Him. I'm going to obey Him. And Paul says, yes, 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 do all of that. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But Paul reminds us, oh, but don't forget this. When you walk out of here with the newfound fervor to serve the Lord, don't walk out of here and forget that sin's influence over you is dead. And sin's power over you in triumphant life. You are victorious over it all. Paul says to us in Romans 6, walk out of here rejoicing in what Jesus has done. Saved you, forgiven you, redeemed you, and defeated sin's influence and power over you as well. And I'm just going to speak the truth to us this morning. Dear brother, dear sister, bound in sin, you got to hear me today. All of us that live our lives complacent towards the things that would displease God. So often, and listen, let us not forget we live in grace. Aren't you glad for grace this morning? On a Sunday when we talk about how sin shouldn't have any influence and sin's power dead, gone, aren't you glad for grace? Because unless I miss my guess, all of us, boy, sin was sure alive in me this last week. It might should have been dead, Pastor, but sin's influence and power won the day in and over me. We're glad for grace, but some of us so flippant, so casual. Oops, I shouldn't have said that. Oops, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Everything's fine now. And we continue. It's day after day. Oops. Oops, oh, I messed up again. Oh, look at my life. Not really what Jesus would want, but that's okay because the Lord forgives me. And it's day after day that turns into week after week and month after month and year after year. And we're lethargic at best. And we forget that He didn't just die to forgive you of your sins. He died so that you might look in triumph over sin's influence and sin's power over you. In Him, we share in His resurrection. We die with Him in His crucifixion. And sin's influence is dead. And sin's power, we triumph over it. I wonder if many of us are relying on self. And we're missing the in Christ. We share with Him. In Him. Because of Him. Sin's influence gone. Its power negated. One more time, Romans 6, the message says it this way. When Jesus died, He took sin down with Him, but alive He brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. It may be true, in fact, surely it is. God's ways are not ours. His thoughts and His plans are way beyond us. So often in life, we don't know what He's doing. We don't know what He's planning. We don't know what He's thinking. We don't know. But how insignificant all that we don't know becomes in light of what we do know. We know we are no longer slaves. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. I don't mean to make light nor to diminish whatever frustration you're experiencing as your life has collided with the reality that God's ways, God's thoughts, and God's plans are way, way, way above and beyond yours. I don't mean make light of it, but if there is not something that resonates inside of your spirit, forget what I don't know. I do know this. I'm no longer a slave. Despite the frustration, despite the perplexing situation that seems to be God's fault, God, would you please explain yourself? Would you please just give me a little insight into what you're doing? If you can't leave here this morning, rejoicing despite the frustration, despite all the questions. If you can't leave here rejoicing, knowing I am no longer a slave. Oh, I think you might have missed the message today. I think you might have missed what Paul reveals to us in Romans 6. God's ways are not our ways. We don't know. But in life, of I'm no longer a slave. Is it true? It really is true. No worries. I'm no longer a slave. I anchor myself in that. I strengthen myself in that, even in the midst of the frustration of the unknown.